And that give back to me is actually going to be probably one of the most exciting times, I think, in the markets, just because I have traded the precious metal space before in 2000. I've traded it after the 2008 crisis when it screamed higher to new all-time highs. I believe the next major pullback is going to be, you know, the start of a multi-year rally, massive money to be made. And that's where I made a lot of money originally. And so I am drooling for this pop and big sell-off in gold and for the stock market to correct, because it's a once like in a generation type of opportunity generally.
Chris, how are you doing, man?
I am good, Andy. Pleasure to be back on the show and talk markets again.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do. Let's talk about last time you were on. We talked about the overall market, stock market, and how it was reaching a potential blow-off top here in the springtime. Just want your thoughts on that. Let's revisit that. Is that still the case, what you're looking at, or has anything changed with that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, everything's actually unfolding as I've expected over the last several months. This is a process. It's not an event. So it takes time for massive trends to happen. And if we take a look at the chart, there's a lot going on in the broad markets like the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, equal weighted stock market, which I'll show you as well, because it gives a really interesting point of view here. But yeah, the S&P 500, if we take a look at it, it has come up. It has broken the highs from back in 2022. Definitely, heavyweight techs are doing most of the heavy lifting. It's the same with the NASDAQ, pretty much same scenario. AI, NVIDIA, I mean, it's really, they're getting all the attention, all the ARK ETFs, you know, the aggressive stocks, people are piling back into those. I'm seeing, it feels very similar to the tech bubble back in 2000. I feel like this is a tech bubble driven right here. And the general public now is getting sucked into buying NVIDIA on their phones, just because I've met a couple people now that have bought. They open up an account with, I think it's like Wealth Simply or whatever those simple apps are, and literally go and they're buying stocks because they feel like they're missing out. So this leads back into what you just mentioned, Andy. We talked about how I think a blow off top is going to happen. We're going to see new highs. I said that back in December, and that's what's starting to unfold. We're finally hitting new highs. Anybody who was too scared to get back in the market last year or up to this point this year is now starting to get in, because it's headline news every day. Stock indexes hitting new highs, NVIDIA on fire, AI stocks on fire. And so now it's pulling in all those people to literally, I think, buy near the top. And we're getting the general public who aren't involved in the markets, they're getting sucked in because they feel like they're missing out. So this is that kind of, I don't know if we're going to have a big pop, like a big blow off top or not. It would be kind of nice if we had one big surge that just shoots up for potentially bring us into May or so. And then the market gets hammered with selling, and then we go into a multi-year, I think, correction. But that scenario is still playing out. And actually, a really good view of this is a lot of people are, you know, let me step back one sec here. So I always like to look at the stage analysis of the markets. There's four stages. I believe we're in this stage three topping phase. And after that, we go into a stage four decline. That's like the 2008 financial bubble, the bear market. It's like the tech bubble, that bear market. That's what a stage four is. And there's a huge opportunity to make money during that. But right now we are in this stage three. And this is the price action we see on the charts. But a lot of people are like, well, if we're hitting new all-time highs, how are we in a stage three? Well, if we peel back a few layers on the market here, let's take a look at the S&P 500, which I look at as the ocean tide. Is the tide going up or down? If we look at the equal weighted, you can see we're actually getting close to a double top. We actually have this this kind of, we had the bear market in 2022. Now we're in this complacency mode, this stage three. I think we're going to put in potentially a double top. Maybe we're going to see this poke to nominal new highs, but then I think we're going to see selling kick in, and who knows how low we're going to go. I mean, the charts are showing potentially 40, 50% correction. But that's what this is what the majority of stocks are doing. They're not making new highs. In fact, the Russell 2000 is an even better gauge of the majority of stocks. And you can see here, it is nowhere near the highs. It has a much more bearish stage three topping pattern that points to a very big decline going forward. So while the big tech and the major indexes make everybody look and feel good, it's not really the case. Most portfolios are actually kind of struggling and everything is near resistance. And it's just the last of the, I think, investors kind of getting squeezed into the market to buy at the high, and then they'll be panicking out at the low 6, 8, 12 months from now, or 2 years from now, whenever that happens. It's just a cycle that goes back and forth over and over again. So that's kind of the high level view of where I think we're at.
You know, you've said a lot there, and I have some questions on that. And sure. Just recently you said, talked about it. It sounds like emotion. So, but let's revisit that. But it does remind me, I was in the market in 2000. And it reminds me a lot of that, actually. And what you had then, you had really just this influx of money in December, I want to say, or it was November, December, and then it kept on flowing in as portfolios, I guess, allocated funds. And then in March, and I'm going from memory, this was, again, 24 years ago, I'm going from memory, that was really the start of the correction, and then they accelerated into the fall. Now, I'm not calling that. That's what we're happening now, but it does seem similar. And I guess also what seems so similar, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like we have a lot of concentration again in tech, like we did in 2000. That was pretty much holding up the market.
Yeah.
So that's still the case, as you mentioned. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe it's the market is all tech. And I feel like everything is actually very set up in terms of commodity values, the dollar trend and the dollar value. I think there were tech heavy. We just had a bubble, like almost a forced bubble in almost every asset class. You know, it just feels like there's got to be air let out of the bag. And when we look at the majority of stocks, they are doing what we saw back. This is the NASDAQ. You know, we had the crack to the downside. You go into this stage three topping phase, and then we went into a multi-year bear market. I think this bear market that's coming could actually last multiple years similar to this. And it's not what, no one's expecting it, which is why it's likely to happen. But there's a lot of things that I think are kind of leading into this kind of big unwinding. I think there's going to be some hot sectors in there,
right,
potentially during this decline, but they're going to be rare, few and far between. But overall, yeah, it definitely feels like the 2000 bubble. And, you know, if we look just really quickly at the seasonality charts of the markets, seasonality wise, we tend to see the stock market push higher into May, June, July, usually tops out. In fact, if you look at the seasonality chart and then just pull up last year for the just for the year window, it looks identical to this. So last year, the markets moved how they typically move. And so I'm expecting this. Everyone getting sucked into the market right now with NVIDIA and just the trend and the tech, I think people will continue to kind of get sucked in, and maybe we see a decent rally, hopefully going into May. And then from there, maybe we see that top happen and we start to see big sellers step in. We've only seen one big day in the last 2 weeks of some big distribution selling. Everything got hit with huge volume. We need to start seeing more of those, but I think we're going to start to see more of those as we get closer to that May window is my thinking anyway.
Got it. Well, what are we thinking, or what are you seeing as far as emotional indicators like the VIX or fear indicators? Are you seeing a lot of complacency, or to talk about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got a good chart here that kind of covers the emotions of the average market participant who doesn't understand stages, who doesn't understand this whole phase. Long story short, is everyone loves the side up. Everybody feels like a hero. They're going to be rich. They make a lot of money. Right now, we are in that complacency stage, Andy, and people are starting to pile back into the growth and the highly leveraged stocks and the high risk things, thinking that last year's bear market, which it was a small bear market, was it. And they think we're starting something new. And when we start to roll over, they're going to start to go into anxiety, going, there's no way we're starting another bear market. We just had one. And they're going to start to panic. And then they're going to be down, you know, they're going to go into denial, not believing that they've lost this much again. And they don't know what to do. So there is this, we're not quite into a panicky stage. People are actually feeling pretty good and really bullish. But in reality, we're at the top of the cycle, this red zone. Like, there's not much more upside left. Any new money put to work right now carries a lot of risk of it being cleansed and taken down. So if we were to look at the VIX, As you mentioned there, it is kind of interesting. If we look this year, the VIX has been, on average, the VIX has been going up, and so has the stock market. And
it's not concerning.
To me, it's actually bullish because the stock market climbs a wall of worry. So as the market goes higher, people get more and more worried that it's getting closer to a top. We had the same back over here. We had the same over here. Eventually, we hit that tipping point where FOMO kicks in, where people are like, I can't sit on the sidelines. I got to stop betting against it and picking tops. I got to get into this market. And then suddenly, kind of everybody snaps and they all change directions. They all buy in, they give in, they say, I'm getting in this bull market, forget it. I got it. I can't miss it. And that's when we see the VIX fall and we could see, you know, one big drop as the rest of the world kind of just gets sucked in, creates that that rally up. And that will be the reset. Cause when the VIX is low, the saying is it's time to go.
Right.
And there's no fear and everybody just get the last people get sucked in. It's like, look out below, because this market is about to like tank, right?
Right.
So that's how I see the fear in the market right now.
Yeah. I would agree with you. It's just thinking this through, helping me think it through. It seems like we've had some decent spikes here without, I guess, which is a little confusing, but as you said, it's a wall of worry.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a bunch of spikes. I mean, but it's still like, it's not even in the 20s. I mean, we're still if we go back and look at the big picture, I mean, there's not much fear really. All this is people hypersensitive, you know, getting really nervous.
Yeah.
In reality, we're well within the norms, and this little trend up this year in fear it's just an uptick of people getting nervous. There's a bear market coming. And I think a lot of people are betting against the markets here and they just keep getting hit hard because it's pushing up. Until we get like a really big spike, like way up into the 20s, that's when we can start to maybe see something bigger take place that lasts a long time to the downside for the stock market.
Got it. Let's talk about energy. Energy is somewhat of a proxy for the economy. What are the charts saying specifically, I'd say, about crude or just in energy in general?
Yeah, if we were to just take a look at crude, I don't have a whole lot of insight in crude. If we zoom out on it, kind of get rid of this negative spike. The reality is, you know, if we take some of these major highs, just kind of trim them down a bit and take some of these lows, you know, oil's pretty much trading right in the middle of the range. I do have a bearish bias to it. It might want to push up again, maybe up and towards the 90 level, maybe. But overall, we've had a double top. This chart barely shows it because I'm zoomed way out. But we had a double top, very similar to actually what happened back here just before the stock market put in a major top back in 2007, 2008. We got this consolidation here. And this is a bear flag. We've got to move down. And a consolidation pattern simply means whichever way the price fell into that consolidation is the way it's going to exit. And so I see oil being, you know, $40 an ounce at some point, I think, when we have this market and economic recession. So right now I'm neutral. It could flip and flop any direction. But when it breaks out of this kind of sideways range, that is going to probably be a fairly significant change in the economy, probably.
Got it. Let's talk about gold here. Let's start with the metal first. It seems like we've been range bound now for several months. If you would, are you seeing a breakout? And if so, what would be the catalyst of that breakout? And if not, are we just going to continually consolidate? And also, it sounds like we're going into, in your view, the charts are showing a deflationary environment, perhaps. And what is gold, or how is gold going to react to that?
Yeah, to me, everything is really driven by fear and greed and underlying trends. So, I mean, I don't really care if we're in an inflationary, deflationary, rates are going up, rates are going down. It's either people are buying the asset or they're not. It's either getting driven up.
Yeah.
So I try and keep it really, really, really simple. So as you mentioned before, gold here has been trading sideways for a few months, but it does have a really nice chart pattern. It's had a nice rally, a pullback, a rally. Another nice little bull flag, which is pointing to higher pricing. In fact, if we were to zoom back and go back to what happened over here just before the 2008 financial crisis, we actually saw a multi-year consolidation, just like we're in right now. And then suddenly, you know, the last few months and the running into the stock market top, we saw gold, silver, and miners really take off. And they all started to perform really well. So the gold chart is actually pointing to higher pricing, and we're actually in that sweet spot where we could actually see gold, silver, and miners come back to life, which probably people are like, no way, gold miners are getting beat up. They're like just getting hacked into pieces right now. But they are pretty much at support. They look oversold. They're headline news. Everybody's talking about them. Nobody wants them, which typically signifies it's probably ready for a bounce. Gold is ready to pop and rally. Miners are oversold, and I think they're emotionally oversold. People just are getting stopped out and can't take the pain anymore. So I think we could see a nice little pop and move here in gold. The caveat here is, even if we do get a nice rally out of this little bull flag, I feel like if we do go into a market recession, economic recession and stock market kind of correction, we're probably going to see it pull precious metals back down. And precious metals could easily come back down to where they are now. They come back down into the 1800, maybe 1700 range. So it's a short-term gain. It's more of a trade, I think. We get this squeeze up into May, maybe in precious metal space. But then I think it's going to be given back temporarily. And that give back, to me, is actually going to be probably one of the most exciting times, I think, in the markets. Just because I have traded the precious metal space before in 2000, I've traded it after the 2008 crisis when it screamed higher to new all-time highs. I believe the next major pullback is going to be, you know, the start of a multi-year rally, massive money to be made. And that's where I made a lot of money originally. And so I am drooling for this pop and big sell-off in gold and for the stock market to correct, because it's a once like in a generation type of opportunity. Generally, if you're lucky, you catch a couple. I have been able to catch them, but that's because I live and breathe the markets. Most people will see one or two of them and then maybe look for another one, but they take like 10 years or longer to unfold, and it's easy to miss. So this is just one of those. If you can catch one or two of these in your lifetime, with just a portion of your capital, you can make a lot of money and really leap yourself forward financially. So I'm excited about the space, but it's going to be a bumpy ride, I think, for the next 6-8 months, or maybe a bit longer, depending how this market, when it tops out and how long it corrects for.
Sure. So you're looking at, but potentially, and this is all potentially, sometime in the fall, in September, October-ish. And again, there's a lot of assumptions here, assuming we get a pullback, which we very well could, and what the charts say. Is there anything specifically you would look at? Is it just the ETFs, GDX, which has just gotten hammered? Just some of the big names? Is that what you would do personally?
In order to follow the markets, I follow the indexes. So I'll look at GDX, GDXJ, the SIL, the silver miners, and get a gauge. Are they performing? Are they coming to life? Are the physical gold and silver starting to perform? But when we start this new opportunity, like after we have a correction, I'll mostly be looking at, well, buy some more physical, but I'll be looking at buying small micro cap gold companies that are ready, you know, ready to run hundreds or thousands of percent, because it's going to be their time to shine finally. You know, right. It feels like forever since we've had this opportunity. I call them just like, they're like lottery tickets. They're high probability lottery tickets where you're the house and the odds are you're going to win more than you lose. And they're an exhilaration rush and a lotto ticket type thing.
It really is that. It is a lottery ticket. That's how I'd have to look at it. And it really, I can't say this enough. I'd agree with you. Timing is essential. Probably the biggest part of this is discipline and patience.
For sure. 100%.
You know, it's just being ready for that. As Warren Buffett said, that fat pitch down the middle, and that's the one you swing at. Any closing thoughts here, Chris? Just again, over the next several weeks, few months, for what people to keep an eye out for.
I really think people just need to be aware. I mean, NVIDIA stock has hit its measured move, its targets that I talked about many, many weeks ago. We're seeing the entire space, even in the uranium space, Cameco, URA stocks, everything is starting to show signs that they've had their run. They're starting to stall out. Everything could pop a little bit higher. Like NVIDIA has now hit its max targets. So right. Now it is in kind of bubble phase. It could pop and blow to 1,000 and then crash back down very quickly. It's in that super unpredictable bubble phase. So I would just be aware that, you know, right now, if you look at the stock market and the average investor as a whole, right now, I like to kind of look at this type of news, new highs, technology in the lead, driving things up, news driven. I look at the stock market and the news right now as like a bug zapper light, those like bluey green lights. And more or less, that's what the news and the markets are doing. It's like sucking everybody in. They can't stop watching it. They got to see what's going on and they just have to get in there.
Right.
And they're going to get fried if they get in now and hold for too long because it's just dangerous. So I guess my point is try not to be a bug who's about to get zapped and be a normal statistic in the financial space during a correction.
Well, Chris, it's an absolute pleasure again. Just thank you so much for your time. How can people find you and give us your site and your contact info?
Yeah, sure. If they go to thetechnicaltraders.com, three words, and you can pretty much every morning I give subscribers, we walk through the charts as you and I did, but in much finer granular detail down to the 30-minute charts and do all the intermarket analysis of how everything's related and going to move for the day. And I share all the trades that I put on. I focus on ETFs. I like to trade tides and giant waves like a surfer, you know, waiting for those sets to roll through. I don't want to trade this individual stocks, which I find are choppy. It's very difficult. It's not surfable. So that's how I look at the market. And so if you like technical analysis, you believe there's a way to follow the markets, you don't need to predict it. You just need to be able to follow it really well and manage positions. And you just want to catch, you know, 5 to 12 nice trades a year that you can put, you know, decent amount of money into. ETFs, they're slower moving, but they're more consistent. That's what I focus on is capital preservation. And if you do that, the growth happens automatically.
Yep. Compounded. All right. Thanks, Chris. Again, really appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Take care.
Take care.